Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, Shad and I are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, look, we can talk as much as we want about some of the short-term moves in gold and some of these, I guess, big picture drivers for gold, but fact of the matter is the gold price has been under pressure here after a very nice run, whether you consider that run starting in 2019 when the market really took off in kind of mid-summer, or even going back to the beginning of 2016 when just after gold bottomed at that 1045 level, gold was in a nice uptrend and especially got some investors attracted in it over those last couple of years from 2019 to 2020. However, tail end of 2020, gold peaked and has been rolling over. It peaked right just short of 2100. Gold's currently trading a little under 1800. Not a huge pullback, but a painful, slow pullback for a lot of the investors that thought gold would just keep on running higher. And in all fairness, if you go back on the chart and look around that 2012 or 2011 level, look, there are some chart similarities here. Not saying that we're going into another prolonged bear market, but we do need to ask that question. What are the odds here, Jeff, that gold could or already has started to enter another bear market?
The odds are probably less than 25% that price of gold falls significantly from here. We think that it is what you were saying, and we've been saying this for some time. We think that you're going to see the gold price basically move sideways for the next 5 quarters or 6 quarters, that we're in a consolidation phase. Our expectation has been, and it continues to be, that the upward move from 2016 to 2020 was the first leg of an upward move that we'll see a consolidation phase now, which we're in already. And then at some point, we'll see the next leg up, which will take prices to a new record high. If you look at, there are people who say, well, you know, gold clearly is just continuing to fall ever since it reached that peak in early August of 2020. But if you look at it, it fell from the peak of August 2020 into January of this year. And since January, it's been volatile, but it's been volatile within a range. So we've really been range bound. It looks much more like a consolidation than the beginning of a bear market, as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, Jeff. And after such a big move like it had in 2019 and 2020, you know, some would even say that almost turned into a semi-parabolic move. Then it's normal for things to base and get boring and trend sideways for a while to digest that. What do you think the main catalyst for the gold market will be, though, as we move into, you know, maybe through this last slow period of a sideways slog? What do you think the key catalyst will be coming up that will get more generalists interested in the space again and get a bit under the price again?
I think it's going to be economic and political issues and financial stability issues. And, you know, we've got a lot of really nasty problems out there. But the reality is that governments, even if, you know, we're concerned about the way they've handled it, governments have handled the pandemic, the economic lockdown, the increased nationalism and breakdown in international cooperation. Governments have handled it relatively well from a consumer and an industrial perspective so far. And that is probably being reflected in the fact that gold and silver prices have not continued to rise. The stock market has continued to rise. Even with the sell-off over the last few days, it's the S&P and the Dow are back to levels that we last saw in July. You had touched record levels in August and early September. So, you know, there's still a lot of really positive momentum in the economy, but we think that going forward 5 or 6 quarters, A, you'll be starting to look at the 2023 election. B, it's quite clear that the breakdown in international intergovernmental cooperation is going to deteriorate further. I mean, you know, Biden's speech at the UN yesterday was just the absolute worst thing that he could say. You know, we're ready to start asserting our hegemonic powers over the world again. Whereas the rest of the world says, no, you should be saying we're ready to re-engage with the world as, you know, a country among their countries. And let's start cooperating again instead of having the U.S. dictate to people. You know, he's been saber-rattling. He's been saber-rattling with China, and this was just a really bad thing. I don't think anything is so critical that it's going to cause investors to say, I need to buy a lot more gold and silver right now. And it could be next July, it could be next December before you start seeing economic and political and financial market instabilities get to the point where people start saying, let me buy more gold and silver hand over fist.
Jeff, what about the argument that I'm hearing from a lot of the gold bugs saying fundamentals haven't been better, and they're saying the fundamentals of increasing debt, more money printing that has continued from central banks, and the inability of interest rates to go higher because it would squeeze all that debt? I've heard these before. In all fairness, I've heard these arguments for over a decade now. Does any of this ring true to you? Are any of these valid reasons, or does it go back to some of those ones you just touched on earlier?
Yeah, you're younger than me. I've heard it for the last 40 or 50 years. And really what you've got is since 2008, 2010, you have a changed monetary system, and you have a changed relationship between fiscal spending and global overall GDP. So I am not particularly concerned about those problems for now. They are big problems. They're not as bad as a lot of people say. And it, like, for example, we've done some recent videos ourselves showing, you know, okay, there's all this $28 trillion of U.S. debt, but look who owns it. So a big chunk of that is owned by government agencies and the Fed. And you take those out and you've got $11 trillion. $11 trillion is a lot of debt, but all of a sudden you can understand how it is that kids seen deficit spending in the United States on a federal level, state level, private sector level, on a global basis, China, Japan, Europe, the United States, every country running these fiscal deficits and just adding to their federal debt, and yet it hasn't blown up. And it hasn't blown up because the people who expect it to blow up don't understand the way that debt and deficit is working in the economy. And it's probably not going to blow up now, and it may become problematic 2 or 3 years from now, but it's probably not going to, quote, blow up. So I'm not looking for a collapse of Western financial markets. I'm looking for another wave of financial crises and recessions, which will cause investors to cyclically move into gold and silver, push gold and silver prices to record prices for a time. Then things will get better in the economy, and investors will back away and redeploy their assets to stocks and bonds.
Well, Jeff, another two undercurrents that we hear all the time, whether we're talking to hedge fund managers or newsletter writers or company CEOs, is they believe that if inflation becomes a runaway train and the Fed can't keep that genie in the bottle, that could be another driver. And one other one we hear is that if that happens and they're forced to, or even this tapering and hiking that they're discussing, if the markets have a taper tantrum, so to speak, and the markets turn over, that could be the other thing required to get more people into gold. Do you buy either one of those narratives, that it could be inflation or a market correction that could drive more people into gold?
I'm more concerned about interest rate markets, but we'll get to that second, since you talked about inflation first, and that's, I think, the easy one to knock down. You know, I was talking about how investors may not get concerned enough and start buying more gold and silver to drive prices up until the end of 2022. And one of the reasons why we don't think it happens in the middle of 2022, the way it has in the middle of 2019 and 2020, is that we do see most of the inflationary pressures as transitory. And some of them are simply mathematic. So if you look at the most recent CPI data, 5.3% headline CPI inflation over the last 12 months, 4% on the core inflation, excluding food and energy. But if you look at it on a monthly basis, and you compare what happened in August to what was happening in previous months, we only had one sector of the inflation index that was more than 2% higher. That was petroleum-based energy. Autos, used autos, which have been 40, 43, 45% up month after month, several years, actually fell like 1.5% in August. So that tells you that a lot of these pressures are, in fact, transitory. And then when you go forward, we get into the second and third quarters of 2022, the year-over-year calculations are going to be, well, what do prices look like now in the middle of 2022, 2 years into the recovery, compared to where they were in the second and third quarters of 2021? So you're going to see very low inflation figures in 2022 year over year. So I don't think that inflation is a problem, and I think that inflation fears will not fuel a rally in gold prices. Interest rates are more important. You know, if you look at an interest rate, you know, we said that September was going to be a really cool month and a very volatile month. If you look at 10-year treasuries, they've gone between like 1.25 and 1.38 three times so far this month. The month is only, you know, two-thirds over. So you've got a tremendous amount of uncertainty. But if you back away and you say, yeah, but it's between 1.25 and 1.38 nominal 10-year rates, 2% or 4% inflation, you've got negative real rates. And the expectation, both by the Fed and by other mainstream economists, is that you're probably going to have very low interest rates for the next decade, and you're probably going to have negative T-bill rates for the next decade. So the interest rate increase probably isn't going to happen. Now, we've actually had a couple of temper tantrums over the taper since 2013. We had one around 2013, and that wasn't so much the market being upset. What was happening was that they pulled $100 billion out of the treasuries, out of the Fed's balance sheet, and you had a shortage of dollars. That caused a little bit of a spasm. Then you had another one around 2017, 2018, which was more of a taper tantrum. Fed has learned what to do, and it's going to be very important. We're waiting to hear what they say today, and I think they're going to say today is it's coming. That could, you know, hit the markets again. I think the markets were hit earlier this week on the expectation, and it happens, and now kind of adjusted to the fact that it isn't going to happen. It's going to be very important to see how well the Fed manages interest rates and interest rate expectations going forward. I have to say, they've wrong-footed themselves a couple times recently, and that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence that they'll get it right this time. But sometimes institutions learn from mistakes and they take corrective actions. So I think that that's something that we're going to be watching. But the reality is that interest rates are going to stay low for a long, long time, even if the market balks. And real interest rates are going to stay negative for a long, long time. That whole complex is very positive for gold and silver investment demand.
All right, Jeff, interesting comments, especially looking forward. And you are right. Look, a lot of eyes are on the Fed, and the Fed, even outside of actually changing policy, really talks the market in certain directions. So let's see which direction they choose to talk the markets at today's meeting. One quick comment too regarding at least some of the short-term trading in the gold stocks. One thing I've noticed is how tied the gold stocks have been to what the U.S. equity markets are doing. I know we get a lot of comments that we just need a fall in the equity markets to bring more people into gold. That does happen. But after there's a washout, when we get a true almost margin call or liquidity squeeze where everyone's searching for cash and everyone sells everything. Do you see us setting up in an environment like that because of how correlated the gold stocks have been to the underlying market moves?
Oh, you know, Peter Tufano did a lot of research in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, he always made the point, gold stocks are both gold and stocks. And sometimes they act like stocks and sometimes they act like gold. And I think that they'll probably act like stocks if you do see a big sell-off. I will say one thing about a big sell-off, and, you know, you asked earlier what could be the trigger. I don't think it's the Treasury. I don't think it's the Fed policy. I don't think it's Treasury interest rates. I think the next problem when it arises will be some obscure of the private debt market, some obscure corner of the private debt market, like tech stocks were in 2000 and like collateralized mortgage obligations were in 2007. And I think that that's where it's going to be. Well, because as you said, everybody's got their eyes on the Treasury. So the Treasury probably isn't going to be the place where the next problem arises. The next problem is probably going to arise in some obscure area of the private debt market. And, you know, one of the places that we've been watching and thinking about and studying for several years is the equity derivatives, which are a large multiple of the underlying equity market. And that's where you might see the kind of imbalance that could cause a run for cash that could cause a broader financial crisis.
Well, Jeff, just pivoting over to silver really quickly, do you see it moving in tandem with gold, or do you see any divergences between silver and gold as we move into the next phase of the markets?
You know, our expectation is that while gold moves broadly sideways, and when I say broadly sideways, I'm, you know, over the next several quarters, I'm talking about like, you know, $1,760 to $1,900. Silver, we think it will crawl its way higher. So it will outperform gold over the next, say, 8 quarters. On a longer-term basis, I think they both have the capacity to rise and rise sharply. I'm not sure that silver will outperform gold because I think when you get into those kinds of global financial crises, there are more people racing to gold than there are to silver.
All right, Jeff, we'll wrap it up here. Good thoughts broadly, and I hope this does clarify at least what some people should be looking at in terms of key catalysts, in terms of drivers for the metals. And look, you're not the only one to say that gold broadly could be kind of boring, continue to be boring for another few months, if not a year and a half out. So we will see just exactly how the market moves, but even consolidating around the 1700 or 1800 level, that could be pretty good if that can be the next launching point. But again, maybe some patience is also needed. Jeff, always great chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for taking some time this week. I'll post a link below this interview to the CPM Group website, and we'll also chat again in about a month's time. I hope you have a great rest of your week, Jeff. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks. Right. You too.